Under puffy white clouds, the sculpture of a muscular horse stands in a park. A title appears, Justin Morgan Had a Horse. In a green field, brown horses lope together in a loose herd.
It all started in Vermont a long time ago. In the 1790s, to be exact. With one colt, name figure, and one man, Justin Morgan.
In the driver's seat of a horse-drawn wagon, Justin whistles as he guides the reins. A colt tethered to the back of the wagon keeps pace.
Morgan was a schoolteacher and a composer of music, which may explain his naming the little colt figure for a figure of music.
The sleek brown colt trots behind the wagon as they travel past a pond where three boys fish.
Morgan was a man with a love of horses and a dream. There would be no Morgan horse and no story to tell without that dream.
Guess that means school's gonna start again.
Hey, look at that horse.
He's just right for me.
Morgan had borrowed a great deal of money for a cousin a while back, but then his cousin passed on, and he was saddled with a debt.
Wearing a blousy red shirt and a kerchief around his neck, Justin glances back at the colt as they wind down a dirt road. Grinning broadly, Justin pulls on his reins and his bay horse stops. Traveling in the opposite direction, a woman waves from the back of a carriage with red spoked wheels. Justin returns the greeting and the carriage driver stops his horse. Justin exchanges a smile with the brunette woman and the driver glances between them.
Well now, Mr. Morgan, I see your journey's been fruitful.
Except you're seeing the whole of it, Squire Fisk. These two horses, this wagon, cash have I none.
It's $180 you owe me, and I don't see it sitting here.
Well, I was hoping you'd accept the two horses and the wagon as partial payment and just be patient for the rest.
And since you don't have a tin pot in this world I can foreclose on, it's a case of a bird in the hand worth all your good intentions and then some. Am I right?
Nobody's trying to cheat you, Squire. I'll admit to coming back more or less empty-handed.
Empty-headed is more like it.
The squire gets out of his wagon and studies the bay horse hitched to Justin's wagon. Justin squints in the sun as he eyes the brunette woman.
I'm sorry. In all the commotion, I'm afraid a proper hello got lost. It's nice to see you again, Kathleen.
And you, Justin. You look well after your trip.
Well, I've had a lot of exercise.
Which has about as much buying power as a smile. Money is what you should have gotten plenty of.
He examines the horse's teeth.
Older than I am. $10.
Justin knits his brow. The squire strolls over to the colt and nudges its lean hindquarters. Scratching his head, the older man glances at Justin.
You're not passing off this shrimp as part of any payment to me?
Now, just a minute, squire. He's a small horse, I know, but...
Why even bother bringing him back here?
Well, I was going to leave him behind, but then I got to watching him. The way he carries himself. There's something different about that horse.
Stop sounding like a fishmonger hawking yesterday's carp. This animal is of no worth. He's a misfit, a runt. I'll give you $1 for him. The tanner might offer a pittance for his hide.
His hide? Squire, I know he's not going to grow as big as one of your draft horses. But that is as pretty an animal as I've ever seen.
When I want pretty, I'll look at a sunset. Now, do you want $1 for this run, or don't you?
Well, you can just go and keep your dollar, squire.
Smiling, Kathleen clenches her lips.
Except that I owe you, I wouldn't part with that horse. Not for $100.
$100? There should be quarters in Bedlam, with your name above the door.
Justin tenses his jaw.
I'll send my man, Robert Evans, by the schoolhouse for that bay.
Kathleen drops her sullen gaze.
Miss Kathleen? Good day, squire.
Justin puts on his hat and snaps his reins. As his bay horse moves on, Justin glances back at the colt. Kathleen fixes her stern gaze on Squire Fisk, who takes a few steps closer.
Now don't you go looking at me like I'm carrying horns or waving a pointed tail.
You can't get blood from a stone.
But I can get a little more respect from you until you've worked out your indenture. And that's 5 more years. And I won't have your love life taking your mind off your chores or your loyalties.
You paid my expenses here, so I'm bonded in debt to you. But you don't own me, Squire Fisk. And my love life, as you put it, is none of your affair.
Now, you just mind your place, Missy.
She holds his gaze, and he climbs into the carriage. Arriving at a small farm, Justin steers the wagon between a clapboard house and a barn that abuts a flat green field. Outside a paddock, the colt wears a rope halter. Justin leads him through an opening in the split rail fence.
Come on, this is your new home now, figure.
Justin slips off the halter and slaps the colt.
Go on.
The colt takes off running. Justin tosses the halter and lead on the fence, then slides a rail into place, closing off the opening. He grins as he watches the sprightly colt frolic in the grass.
No question in Morgan's mind. That colt was some good stock. And it showed.
A breeze stirs the colt's black mane as he runs.
He had a certain spark about him, something extra.
Staring after the horse, Justin grins and shakes his head. He picks up a carpet bag and walks toward the house. Entering a neat room, Justin seats his luggage on a chest, then hangs up his coat and hat. He takes a look around as he strolls across the room. A quilt covers the bed, and a wooden chair sits against the wall. Justin opens the window, and a blonde-haired man looks in.
School teacher with two horses, huh? Must be stealing public funds.
It might come to that, considering what I owe Fisk.
Grinning, Justin heads outside and trots down the front steps. In the shade of some trees, he shakes hands with the blonde-haired man.
Miss Kathleen told me you'd gone a long way for short shrift.
Well, times are kind of hard back there, Bob.
Yeah, that Massachusetts lawyer's kind of picked the estate clean, huh?
There wasn't much of anything left to pick.
The thieves, them lawyers. Them and politicians both. I don't know which one's worse.
They duck under a fence rail and stride across the paddock. The colt faces away from Bob as he approaches with his hands out.
Easy now, easy.
Hey,
figure.
It's a pretty colt, Justin, I'll say that. My goodness.
Stop trying to make me feel good, Bob.
Yeah, you see, the thing of it is, can you afford a pet?
A horse is not a pet.
Yeah, well, this one is. It's gonna be a couple of years before you get a stick of work out of him. Meanwhile, you're gonna have to care for the little beggar. The squire knew that. Yes, sir, Mr. Fisk is a man who knows value.
I'm gonna raise one of the finest horses you've ever seen, Bob. I know how to prove the value of this colt.
You're teaching school and writing music. Isn't that enough for you? You know, ever since I've known you, you've talked about raising horses as well.
Well, you know me and horses.
Oh, yes, and all-purpose horses, I remember. Riding, working, drawing the carriage.
Could be done.
Justin ducks through the fence. Shaking his head, Bob follows.
Pipe dreams are not the point. What do you want out of life? And how are you going to get it? That's the point. Well, what is it, Justin? Can you eat it? Can you wear it? Can you put it in your pocket and hear it jingle? Put a name on it for me.
Well, it's hard to name, Bob. Something that won't be gone once you've used it. Something that means something. Has my stamp on it and won't be forgotten next Wednesday.
Hi, Mr. Morgan.
Hello, Mr. Morgan.
The fishing boys run over.
Hello, Andrew. Boys?
We came to see your horse.
Wish I had one like that. Just about the right size for me.
We brought some apples. All right if we feed them?
He'd never forgive me if I said no.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan.
Thanks, Mr. Morgan. Give me an apple. I want to feed him, too.
Nice horse. Look what we brought you.
Well, money's your problem. Raising horses is your dream. Never the twain shall meet, you want my opinion.
Looks like I'm not going to have any problem feeding the horse.
Well, I wouldn't take it too lightly, Justin. That animal's going to be a burden to you. And you know who owns all the loose oats and shoes and tack around here.
Bob leads the bay horse away, and Justin stares off, a hand planted on his hip. At a sprawling house in the country, a hay wagon rolls down a long driveway. A white split rail fence hems in a paddock, and a rider exercises a gray horse on a flat stretch of grass. Squire Fisk leans against the fence as Justin strolls over, and they watch the gray horse gallop.
Hey!
The rider turns the horse around, and Bob looks up as he rakes hay.
Warm her up, I said! I didn't tell you to sweat yesterday's oats out of her!
Ames nods and turns the horse. Justin grins, and the squire frowns.
I expected you sooner, Morgan.
Just tell the stable boy what you want, and I'll write it up later.
I thank you for the credit.
If you're going to squander your resources on that misfit of a colt, you might as well squander them with me. Mr. Schoolteacher, you'll be in the poorhouse by the time you're up to my years. You should have taken that dollar I offered you for that creature and bought yourself a scrub board and taken it in wash. Be further along devoting your time to some productive enterprise than wasting it on writing music and such. And now that colt.
I thank you for your advice.
Morgan, take a look at a real horse.
Morgan eyes the mottled gray horse.
Princess Greydawn.
Ames wheels her around at a trot.
Champion of Randolph County. Look at the size of her, the length of those legs.
That's a fine animal, the princess.
Justin nods.
The best. Never beaten. Well, just one time, those New York dandies with their thoroughbred. Your colt ever look like that?
Well, Figure has qualities all his own. And I've got my own ideas about training him.
Take what you came for and get along with you. Fool and his money are soon parted. Bit of wisdom life will teach you better than those school books of yours.
Squire, I think you're right about a fool and his money. But there's one other saying that I've heard. Good things sometimes come in small packages.
Yeah.
He sees Kathleen with a tray of lemonade hiding behind a tree.
Come out from behind there.
Kathleen rolls her eyes and shores a tight smile, then walks over to Squire.
I didn't want to butt in.
You didn't want to embarrass your gentleman friend, you mean? Well, don't trouble yourself about that. Morgan hadn't got sense enough to know when he's licked. And he hasn't got sense enough to know when to feel shame.
Justin Morgan is no fool, and I admire the way he sticks to his guns. He said he had a plan, ideas for training that little horse. Well, maybe he sees something in that colt that you don't.
Well, time will tell. Time will tell.
Sipping the lemonade, he strides off. Kathleen frowns after him and leans on the fence. Bob strolls over, wearing a tricorn hat.
Fisk would have sent that little horse to slaughter. I just pray Justin Morgan isn't going in the colt's stead.
They watch Justin emerge from a barn carrying sacks of feed, a broad smile on his sun-kissed face. Later, at his farm, Justin trains Figure, holding one end of a lead as the colt trots in a circle.
It took perseverance, but Figure was smart and Morgan was a first-rate teacher. The training was never a chore. They enjoyed the time together. As the seasons passed, a bond built between the two, a bond that would make Morgan and Figure a winning combination.
In a schoolroom, Justin paces as he reads.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and...
He looks up at his students who gaze out the window. They watch Figure, bigger now and frolicking in the paddock. A smile brightens Justin's face as he gazes at his transfixed students. He picks up a bell. The kids rush outside, forming a bottleneck at the door. Justin watches through the window as the students hurry into the paddock and gather around Figure.
Here, Figure. Come on, boy.
It was evident to Morgan that skittish was one thing that Figure would never be.
The students pet the patient colt, and Justin grins. Later, he walks behind Figure, who pulls a sled hauling logs.
Figure started small, as horses go, but Morgan knew his capabilities would grow with every challenge. Figure seemed to love trying harder because it was Morgan doing the asking. A bigger job each time, and soon there wasn't anything small about Figure's muscles.
Under a blue sky, Figure pulls a heavier sled, hauling a load of logs as tall as he is. In winter, a light snow falls, dusting the countryside. In the schoolroom with Kathleen, Justin conducts a student chorus.
And if the snow
In a ring cleared of snow, Justin holds the lead while Figure trots in a circle.
Every break in the Vermont winters found Figure and Justin continuing the training, and Figure was coming along just fine.
At night, Justin writes music by candlelight. Children sing outside his window. Justin sets his quill down and looks out at the carolers. Grinning, he opens the window.
Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
A boy holds out a rolled-up blanket.
It's for Figure. We all help make it.
I'll meet you in the barn.
The children walk off, some of them carrying hanging lanterns on sticks. In the barn, Figure stands on a bed of straw facing the children. Justin strolls in and the boy hands him the blanket. Justin unrolls it near Figure.
See? It's yours.
Yes.
He lays the blanket over the calm horse.
The children had forgotten when they started the blanket that just as acorns grow into mighty oaks, so do colts become full-fledged horses.
The small blanket hangs down to the horse's shoulder. Smiling, Justin adjusts it, turning his head as Kathleen enters, carrying a gift-wrapped bundle.
Kathleen was growing, too, growing impatient.
Merry Christmas. Oh.
She and Justin had been keeping company for some time, had an understanding. No question if they were getting married, but just when was beginning to bother her. And this Christmas, she didn't mind hinting she was ready to start housekeeping.
Justin unwraps her gift, a large patchwork quilt. A boy holds a sprig of mistletoe over their heads, and Justin kisses Kathleen. Outside, the snowy landscape turns green.
Each season in Vermont is well marked. The change is most dramatic.
Figure pulls Justin's wagon.
And the changes in Figure, too, were dramatic. He'd become a strong 2-year-old. And justified the faith Morgan had had in him all along.
At Squire Fisk's, Bob works on a horse's hoof.
Morgan didn't stint when it came to giving, but it took more than love and care. Figure required some material things, too. It wasn't much each time, just some oats, shoes, and whatnot, but it added up. Morgan was getting deeper and deeper into debt.
The piper will be paid, Morgan. Bear it in mind, the piper will be paid.
Squire closes a ledger. Holding a sack of feed and some tack, Justin smiles tightly and leaves. In the countryside, Justin strolls near a pond with Kathleen. He picks up a fallen leaf, then points.
Look.
A fawn grazes near a doe and a buck.
I see time passing us by, Justin.
Well, life's not so complicated for those little creatures. That doe isn't indentured to Fisk. And her mate isn't concerned about being able to feed and clothe her.
We could manage. And being indentured, well, should the world skid to a halt because I've a debt to work off? No law says I'm to grow old in Fisk's employ, and the squire wouldn't object.
I object, Kathleen. No, I've got to find a way to pay off my debt to Fisk and to buy up your indenture as well.
Why even talk about that when every spare dime that comes into your hands goes towards that horse? And our future be hanged.
Kathleen, if Figure proves out as I expect he will, he's going to be a very important part of our future.
She stares at the ground, her face drawn in a frown.
I think it might be better for the both of us if we didn't see each other for a time until you sort things out and decide what you want. What I want is no secret to you.
She runs off and he stares after her. A wind stirs his dark hair as he glances across the pond at Figure standing near the wagon. Later, Figure pulls Justin's wagon at a trot. In the driver's seat, he wears a tricorn hat.
Come that summer, Figure was a fine-looking 3-year-old. Morgan's training had paid off. He knew he had a horse and a half on his hands.
Figure's glossy brown coat glistens in the sun.
And there'd be some others soon finding this out. Including the man who owned the champion trotter of Randolph County.
Squire Fisk drives his carriage.
Mr. Fisk! Squire! Hello!
Get up.
Justin steers Figure off the road and heads across a field.
Squire Fisk!
The squire clenches his reins and glances over his shoulder as Justin gives chase in his wagon. The squire's dark horse trots quickly.
Squire Fisk! One moment, please!
Figure picks up his pace, and Justin pulls alongside the squire.
Squire, I was thinking perhaps we could make some sort of an arrangement.
Justin claps his reins. The squire sets his jaw and narrows his eyes.
Come on, Midnight! Show Morgan and his runt what a real horse can do! Hey!
The dark horse tosses its head and charges ahead. Figure falls behind. The squire grits his teeth as Figure catches up again. Justin glances over at the squire, who hauls on his reins.
Stretch out, Midnight! Stretch out there! Hurry!
With a high-stepping, fleet-footed gait, Midnight speeds up. Justin taps his reins, and Figure takes the lead on the flat stretch of road. As the fast-trotting horses kick up dust, the squire glares at Justin.
Hurry! Go on with you, Morgan! Get out of my way!
The squire loses ground. In the lead, Justin glances over his shoulder and throws his head back as he laughs.
Oh, Figure!
The squire peels off the road. Midnight slows down as the squire tugs on the reins. Gritting his teeth, he stares after Justin, who glances back. The older man's chest rises and falls as he catches his breath. In a clearing, Bob swings an axe at the roots of a tree stump. Justin walks behind Figure, holding reins attached to the horse's harness. Figure trots downhill towards Bob, who shovels dirt away from the roots.
Justin, what are you doing out here? And Figure, all done up in hauling gear.
Well, to quote the squire,
it's time you started putting a dent in that debt you owe me, Mr. Morgan. If it doesn't curdle you to get your hands dirty at some honest work, and if you can spare the time from your precious music. I don't mind for myself, but Figure and heavy draft work?
Well, I wouldn't worry about it too much, Justin. Between the two of us, we'll take care of the little fella. Not overworking.
Bob hooks up a tug chain.
What'd you do to rile the squire?
Figure here outran Midnight.
Fisk's best trotting horse?
I once told you that this little fella was going to prove out to be fine horse flesh, and he's doing it.
Yeah, that couldn't be. Must be some mistake. I mean, it'd take a wonder horse to... Don't you know, that sure would set the squire's wig to smoking if Figure ever did manage to catch up with that daddy long legs Midnight of his. And can you picture old Fisk thinking he's being outdone?
Stretch out, Midnight! Stretch out, Midnight! Whoa!
Figure takes off and tugs the stump out of the ground.
Wow, Figure! Wow!
Justin stops Figure and looks at the stump with its gnarly roots. Bob runs over.
Justin, did you see that? Did you see it? I didn't even cut the roots, and he ran away with that thing like it wasn't even there.
I saw.
A wonder horse, I call him. You heard me say it. That's what he is. This little horse of yours, he's a seven-day ringtail kind of wonder horse.
Justin and Bob follow Figure as he hauls logs on the sled.
Figure was indeed a wonder. As Bob had said, and Justin Morgan had known all along. It seemed whatever Figure was hitched to just naturally had to follow.
Later, Figure trots as he hauls big rocks down the road. Justin walks behind him, holding a pair of long reins. He exchanges a smile with Bob, who wears his tricorn hat and swings his arms as he strolls alongside them. Pulling an empty sled, Figure leads the way down a dirt road.
I'll tell you, Justin, all the talking you've done about training horses, I thought you were just spouting air. Seeing the fine hand you've had with Figure here, it's like you had to call him. It's what you're meant to do, I'll say for a fact.
Justin squints as he sees the squire driving a carriage toward them. Kathleen rides in the back seat. Justin steers Figure off the road and doffs his hat. The squire frowns and Kathleen looks away. Justin stares after them and Bob meets his troubled gaze.
Kathleen, seems a mite frosty this morning. Something amiss between you two? Just asking, that's all. Just asking. About time you two tied the knot, though. I mean, you've been going together a long time, and women, they... All right, you made your point. I got a long nose.
Justin chuckles and tugs on Figure's reins. Hauling the empty sled, the horse steps back onto the road. Later, on a hillside, Justin leads Figure by the bridle through long grass. Bob walks alongside, his hand on the horse's draft harness. They reach a clearing where loggers swing axes. A burly man driving a draft horse snaps a whip.
Lot of work to do.
A thick brown horse hauls a stump away. Justin watches the burly man snap his whip again. The draft horse rears up.
Get up! Come on! Move out! Get up!
Justin hands Figure's reins to Bob and hurries over to the draft horse, hitched to a big log. Justin grabs the burly man.
Hold on there, Aaron. You're not going to get that animal to haul beyond its ability, not if you beat it into belt leather.
Well, maybe you'd like me to take over your chores at the schoolhouse. Leave the logging to you and that little toy horse of yours.
Toy horse? As strong a horse as any horse I've ever knowed.
Well, I've got a day's pay saying you never knowed much.
Hold on. You betting on that horse walking off with this timber?
I'll take some of that bet.
Unless Bob Evans is backing out.
Now, wait a minute. I think oxen are called for here.
Robert T. Evans has never been known to run from any challenge.
I'll even do the honors. Leave you to think on how you're going to work your magic.
Let's get a rig.
Come on. Give me a hand here.
What made you think you could win a bet like that?
Men hitch up Figure's tug chains.
You got yours?
Yeah, it's good. Now make sure it's hooked up.
I got it here.
Yeah.
This is going to be good.
You know, we should wish him good luck.
Yeah. Bob walks up to Justin.
Well, Justin, I'm in the soup again. Look at the weight of that log. It's pressing against the ground like it's in bed for the ages.
Knitting his brow, Justin strokes his sweat-beaded face.
Sure is embedded, all right. Straight haul isn't even going to budge it.
Justin squats by the hefty log and studies it.
That's it. Start counting your money, Robert T. Evans. I'm counting it as mine already.
Bob, climb up here. Take a ride.
What?
Come on, sit down. Sit down.
What's that?
A couple of you fellas get on behind him, will you?
Really?
Go on, take a ride. Gotta give Figure a little bit of a challenge anyway, huh?
Two men join Bob on the log.
This ought to be good, huh?
The log's front end lifts up, and Justin smiles at the men straddling the back end.
All right, everybody, don't roll off now.
Oh, we won't.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Here we go.
Justin pets Figure.
Now, Figure.
Never.
Ready?
Yeah.
Not too fast, horse.
Justin walks Figure side to side, and the log moves.
Come on. Come on, this way. Attaboy. That's it. All right.
He's moving.
This way now.
I'm moving already.
Come
He's
on,
moving.
Figure. Hi! Come on, Figure.
Figure charges straight ahead, and the log inches forward. Figure's legs churn, and Justin tugs on his bridle.
All right, Figure! Go away, Figure! Come on! All right, Figure!
As Figure lurches forward, the men riding the log grin. The strong horse tows them through the clearing. The last man on the log falls off as Figure pulls the heavy load across the grass. Men gather around Justin and his horse.
Hey, just to see that! Yeah,
you'll have to wait till Friday for my payment, Bob. I'm afraid I'm nearly clean.
Hey, that's quitting time now!
The men hurry off.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute! You guys know me and Justin didn't bring no riding horses. You bunch of ungrateful lunks!
Loggers mount horses and ride off. Bob stares after them while Justin removes Figure's harness.
All right, golly, you know I'd give my eye teeth to whip those dunderheads.
Those boys might just be in for a little bit of a surprise.
Justin, you don't mean we're gonna ride Figure. There's no way to catch them.
There is a shortcut, you know.
The quarry? That's not fit for mountain goats.
Bob sits behind Justin on Figure's back. They stop and look down a sheer cliff.
Mother Evans, pray for your boy Robert.
Figure starts down a steep hillside, kicking loose rocks free as he steps carefully downhill. Bob hangs on to Justin, leaning back as they ride down a dirt slope with a patch of wildflowers growing in the brown grass. Stirring up dust, Figure plods through loose dirt. Justin holds the reins taut as the horse's back feet slide on the soft terrain. Figure angles across a steep slope, his feet sinking into the sandy soil, sending loose rocks tumbling. Justin and Bob lurch with Figure's halting steps as he navigates a gully carved into the hillside. Picking up his pace, Figure heads straight downhill, swirling up dust as he goes. At the bottom of the hill, Figure turns onto a flat stretch of land and starts to canter. Justin and Bob rock on the horse's back as he trots down a grassy hillside, then turns onto a dirt road. Figure picks up speed and rounds a bend, passing into the shade of overhanging trees. Dust rises from the road as the loping horse speeds around a turn. Justin holds the reins high and tight. Figure canters into the woods and jumps a stream. On the road, the loggers ride two by two, with a lone man bringing up the rear. They round the bend, passing into the shade of overhanging trees. On a grassy hillside, Justin and Bob ride Figure at a gallop across the slope. On the road, the loggers rein in their horses and come to a stop. Figure gallops, carrying Justin and Bob across a sunny field.
Come on, let's catch him. Yeah, come on.
Figure rounds a bend, and Justin steers him through some bushes, cutting the corner on a switchback turn. Near a blacksmith shop, a sign reads, "The Grog Shop Tavern." The loggers ride into town. Justin and Bob praise Pewter Mugs.
Stop quarreling, gents!
What kept you?
The squire wipes his brow as he strides over.
Gentlemen, your health.
Loggers gather around.
He went through the quarry and beat us down. Wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah, I admit it. That horse of yours gave a good account of himself. Of course, I'd have caught him there on the road if I'd had my brother's horse Pegasus under me.
You talking about a horse race? Between Pegasus and Figure.
Aaron grins at Bob and nods.
Yes, by golly, it's a bet.
A short man pets Figure, and Justin leans close to Bob.
Now, isn't that pressing things a little bit?
Justin, you know that Figure can run. Wouldn't you like to see what he really can do? Hey, Aaron, wait a minute.
They step away, and the eavesdropping squire walks up to the short man.
Matthew.
Yes, sir, Squire Fiskin. Good day to you, sir.
Is it true what I heard a moment ago? That little horse came down here through the quarry and beat the lot of you?
And riding double, too, sir, hard as that is to swallow. Way you come down that road so fast, put me in mind of your own Princess Grey Dawn.
Will you be wanting anything else of me, sir?
What?
Will you be wanting anything else of me, sir?
No, go on with you, go on with you.
The squire strolls over to Figure and lifts the horse's head. Later, Matthew holds his hat in the air.
On your mark!
Aaron sits on a dark, muscular horse as it rears up. Mounted next to him, Bob studies Figure and eyes the road ahead.
Ready!
Justin paces near a hay wagon and men on horses as Matthew throws his arm down.
Go!
Figure takes an early lead off the starting line and gallops down the road.
This race would set the pattern for many to follow. From that time on, Figure would be the horse to beat.
Bob glances over his shoulder at Aaron, who trails behind. Figure runs with his mouth open, and Bob keeps a firm grip on the reins as he looks back. Aaron swings the tail end of his reins from side to side, urging on his horse. Justin paces anxiously as Bob rides into view. Justin applauds with the other spectators as Bob grows his lead. Behind him, Aaron emerges around a bend. In the lead, Figure gallops past the hay wagon, and Justin thrusts an arm in the air.
Yes, sir, Figure made quite a name for himself. It was like a dream come true for Justin Morgan.
Bob rides over on Figure and shakes Justin's hand. Later, they walk Figure into the squire's barn.
I'll tell you, Justin, you could be proud of him. That Figure can do whatever's asked of him like no horse I've ever known.
He's a pretty special horse to begin with.
Oh, yeah, he's special, all right. So special, Fisk would have sent him to the Tanners. No, it's the training, Justin, and the faith you had in the horse. You take it from Robert T. Evans.
Mr. Morgan, that horse of yours is making quite a splash. It's all over the village. He's a mighty fair runner.
He is that, Mr. Ames. Mighty fair.
Bob frowns.
Fair? What's this fair?
Whoa. Now, all I meant was that, well, considering he's a workhorse, I hear he does right well.
Well, would it interest you to know this workhorse is working because he outran Fisk's big black carriage horse?
In his carriage, the squire tugs on Midnight's reins and steps outside of the barn. He gets out and listens by the door.
The squire turned green with envy and had to get one up.
The squire does not have to envy any other man when it comes to horses. He has the best and he likes it that way. Now, if he found better, he'd either buy it or he'd steal it. But one way or the other, it'd end up his.
Well, this may be his and that may be his. But figure's ours, Morgan's. And he's proven out to be just about the finest horse flesh in Randolph County, you want to know.
Now, Evans, you mentioned the finest. You get a horse in the Prince's class, if you can find one.
Figure can outpull and outtrot and outrun any horse around these parts, and if he had wings, he'd be outflying the Hawks.
Men grin at Bob.
Well, I'll be exercising the Princess out of the old fairgrounds track tomorrow morning before workday begins, like I do every morning. Now, if you want to run against Princess Grey Dawn, you be there. We'll end this muddle once and for all.
Bob steps over to Justin and rests an arm on Figure's back.
Justin, Fisk Grey is the champ of Randolph County. Only been beaten once by that thoroughbred from New York. Now, Figure can beat her.
He'd be champion.
Bob nods, then Justin nods and turns his gaze on Figure. Outside, the squire listens in. Justin pats Figure and Bob eyes Ames.
It's done, then.
Tomorrow morning at the old fairgrounds track, then, before starting time.
Tomorrow morning it is.
In the morning, Ames warms up the gray horse on a dirt track. He bounces in the saddle as Princess Grey Dawn lopes along. Two riders gallop across a field toward the track. Princess Grey Dawn shifts her gait as she nears a gazebo, taking short, hopping sidesteps. Spectators gather on the grassy infield. Ames turns his horse around, then tugs on the reins and pats her. Bob walks with Justin, who leads Figure by the reins. The horse's dark brown coat glistens in the sun, and his black forelock hangs between his eyes. Justin sees Kathleen on the infield, wearing a dress with a broad white collar. With a watchful frown, she stares at Justin, who grins and nods at her. She returns the gesture with a hint of a smile. Ames sits tall on his mount.
One lap around, as we agreed, Mr. Morgan?
Right.
Like to warm him up?
That's been taken care of. We're ready if you are.
All right.
Bob turns to Justin.
I got nothing much to say at this point. And I feel funny when I got nothing to say.
We'll just let Figure do the talking for us.
Bob mounts Figure and joins Ames at the starting line. Princess Grey Dawn fidgets. Justin strolls over to Kathleen, a soft smile on his face.
I didn't expect to find you here.
Call it curiosity. It isn't every day a girl has a horse for competition.
Aaron, want to drop the hat?
Excuse me.
He strides away and she stares after him, exhaling an unsteady breath. Justin glances back at her. From a high vantage point, the squire sits in his carriage, his stern gaze trained on the horses at the starting line. Aaron takes off his hat.
Ready, gentlemen?
Justin grins excitedly.
On the count of three. One, two, three!
Aaron drops his hat, and Figure bursts off the starting line in the lead. The gray horse pulls even, hugging the inside rail around a turn. Kathleen stands on a cart for a better view. Princess comes out of a turn in the lead. The squire's grin fades as Bob swings wide around a turn and Figure sticks close to the gray horse.
Cut in, Bob! Cut in!
Figure angles toward the rail.
That's it! Hug the rail, Figure!
Figure takes the lead and the gray horse pulls even on the outside. Neck and neck, they gallop down the home stretch.
Come on, stretch it out, Figure!
Figure pulls ahead by a nose and Ames smacks his horse with his reins. Figure gallops across the finish line, ahead by a length. As Justin and a crowd spill onto the track, the squire watches begrudgingly from his high vantage point. Bob rides over to Justin.
Hey, Figure, good boy. Fine race, Bob. And a fine race yourself, Mr. Ames.
Your horses do no shame.
Finest race she's ever run.
any faster and she'd left her shoes back there along with me.
This horse can out-trot, out-pull, and outrun anything bragging hooves and a tail. Figure is the champion of Randolph County.
Ames looks off and his smile fades. Justin and Bob turn to see Squire Fisk approaching in his carriage. Justin glances at Bob, who knits his brow. Kathleen takes a deep breath as the squire stops his carriage.
Whoa.
The older man sternly eyes the crowd. Figure's eyes widen and Justin pets him.
All right.
The squire scans the crowd.
You all having a nice holiday? I was taking my morning constitutional when I passed by the field. Stumps and stones are plenty, but workmen, not a one. And here you all are.
Begging your pardon, Squire. Sir. It's the beginning of the day. We were just having a little sport on our own time.
Bob and the other men look off. Justin and Kathleen, along with women and children, follow their gaze. The squire's toothy grin sours.
On my time. I think you mean you're on my time, and you're stealing my wages.
He draws a breath and eyes Justin.
That'll be a day's less pay for all of you this week.
No,
what?
It's not
a
fair.
Day's pay? Oh,
and you're lucky you don't all lose your places. Mr. Morgan, did we not have an arrangement? You and your horse working off a debt?
Yes, we did.
Yet not only aren't you working, you're interrupting other work as well. You've got my workmen playing at racing half the day, talking about it the other half, and neglecting my fields in the process. I call that bad faith, Mr. Morgan. I call that contract broken.
Your fields are being cleared as promised.
Broken and done. The contract's void. Now, you owe me considerable money, Mr. Morgan. Is it not my proper and legal right to foreclose on you? Confiscate your property in place of the debt?
No,
it's not.
Is it not my legal right?
Yes, it is. And has been ever since I returned from Massachusetts with a runt that you wanted to sell for his hide.
So be it. Morgan, I'll allow $100 for that horse. And I've never paid so much for an animal before, but I want no talk of cheating here. That fair?
Kathleen shakes her head.
I ask you if that was fair, Morgan. We can always call in a constable to decide on a sum.
I wouldn't sell Figure for any price. If you're taking him, you're taking him.
Bob drops his gaze, and Kathleen looks on in disbelief.
Ames, take that horse and follow me back to the stables.
Ames fixes a steely gaze on the squire.
You hear me, Ames? If you want to keep your place as my trainer, you take those reins and come along.
Do what you have to do, Mr. Ames.
Ames glances at the squire, who returns a stone-cold look. The crowd disperses as Mr. Ames takes Figure's reins and loops them over the horse's head. Using them as a lead, the trainer rides off. As Figure trots alongside Princess Grey Dawn, Kathleen hurries over to Justin, who watches with a crestfallen look on his face. She takes his arm.
Oh, Justin.
She lays her head against his chest, and he holds her. With a downcast gaze, he watches Ames ride by, leading Figure away. Justin's face twists with emotion as Figure trots off. Kathleen nestles her cheek against Justin, and he rests his chin on her. In a field, workers toss hay into a wagon as the squire approaches in his carriage. The men pause their work and squint against the sun.
Whoa.
The squire stops the carriage.
The quitting bell will be coming soon, and if you men aren't finished by then, you're quitting for good. Get up.
Midnight starts to trot, pulling the carriage away.
Get up.
They turn down the road, and the squire glances at Ames on the seat next to him.
What about the granary?
Well, same thing there. Very little business this week.
Same at the lumber mill, no doubt. Seems like my customers are deserting me.
You have to understand, Squire. The folks hereabouts kind of, well, they adopted that little horse. It's like, you stole a member of their family.
You wouldn't have foreclosed on Morgan and taken his horse, would you, Ain?
No, sir.
That's why you work for me, not vice versa. Get up.
As they roll along, Ames sees a boy just off the road by a stand of trees.
Well, there are no other mills or granaries around here.
The boy hides as the carriage passes.
When the pious populace finishes pouting, they'll be dealing with me again, like it or not.
The squire claps the reins, and the boy slings a rock at the carriage. Midnight rears up, and the squire hauls on the reins. Ames grabs one as Midnight races ahead. As the carriage speeds along, the squire hangs on. Ames tugs on both reins. Midnight gallops toward a bend, and Ames pulls harder on the reins. The horse stops, and Ames glances back.
Something sure spooked that horse.
Well, these things do happen, you know.
Well, these things have been happening with great regularity. Business dropping. Miss Kathleen's cooking suddenly tasting like hog slop. Runaway horses. Ever since I got that horse, that blasted horse.
In a field, Bob rides Figure, wrangling cattle. Justin watches.
Sometimes a thing happens that makes a man question everything he's done in his life. That's how it was for Morgan.
Figure trots, holding his tail high as he prances around the field, herding cattle. Observing with a sullen expression on his face, Justin draws in a deep breath. Bob zigzags on Figure, driving the cattle across the field. Justin walks away.
Coming up short with Figure made him wonder if he'd been coming up short the whole of his days. If that were true, he had some decisions to make.
Justin leans on a rail and looks out at the paddock off the barn. Turning his back, he pensively furrows his brow, then hardens, a determined look on his face. Justin strides into his house and grabs his carpet bag off the floor. He sets it on the bed and opens it, then grabs the clothes hanging on pegs and stuffs them into his luggage. Kathleen hikes up her skirt as she climbs the front steps. Justin stops short as he enters the schoolroom. She stands in the doorway, training her eyes from the luggage in his hand to his uneasy face. He moves to his desk.
I came by to say hello. It, looks like I got things backwards.
He packs books.
I can't stay here, Kathleen.
After all you did with that colt? I know I may have said different, but I came to admire it. The way you stuck to your guns and won out when no one would have given you a snowflake's chance in July. I never saw you running away.
I'm not the man you thought I was, is that it?
Well, let's take a look at this man of yours, this Justin Morgan. He's an underpaid civil servant who can't so much as buy you a glass of punch at a church social without wondering if he's got enough pennies in his pocket. And this was the man that was going to help you buy up your indenture?
Perhaps he had other qualities.
Oh, yes, indeed, he had other qualities. He was a man who chose to teach, write music, because they satisfied some sense of the aesthetic or some fool thing. Man of vision, this Justin Morgan, a man of dreams.
No base pursuit of the great god dollar for him. Oh, no. Dreams. Drivel.
He slams his desk closed, then carries his bag across the room. Kathleen eyes him sternly.
There was a time you held a man who didn't dream had quit living.
Well, I've been re-educated in Fisk's classroom. I've learned that what life boils down to is the question of a dollar. I can't stand the thought of Figure in that man's hands. That horse was perhaps the only real accomplishment of my life.
It's small consolation, I know, Justin. But you've had your victory. You set out to prove Figure a fine animal, and you proved him even beyond your own expectations. Why, people are even calling him the Morgan horse. Like he was a new breed or something.
Well, that's it. He is a new breed. He's unlike any horse that ever lived. And where is he now? He's out there hauling stumps, chasing cows around. He'll spend the rest of his life in harness. Every time I look at him, I'm reminded that I was too much of a failure to keep him.
You're not a failure, and don't ever say it.
For the want of a dollar, I lost Figure. Well, I'm an educated man. There are opportunities in this world.
He clenches a fist.
Would you at least have come by the farm and said goodbye?
Better than that. Within 1 year's time, I plan to come back here with ample to pay Fisk off and be my own master as well. If things go right, there's going to be a new day for both of us, Kathleen.
And if they don't go right?
He plants a hand on his hip.
Whatever it takes, for as long as it takes, I'm determined to have some of the gravy for a change.
Kathleen runs out. She covers her teary face as she descends the front steps. Justin runs outside and stares after her.
Kathleen!
His jaw hangs slack as he sees a horse and rider approaching the house. The rider eyes Justin.
Mr. Justin Morgan, sir?
Yes?
The young man dismounts, wearing a low top hat and a tan riding jacket.
Sir, I represent the Most Honorable Andreas Danforth and his associate, Mordecai Wellington. The aforementioned, sir, are gentlemen of distinction from New York.
Hold on now. What do these gentlemen of distinction want with me?
They want to race against your horse.
Figure?
Yes, sir. We were on our way to Maine for the Brunswick races, but ever since we hit Vermont, all we've been hearing about is his horse ears. They sent me to challenge you. To prove the superiority of our blooded stock over the mongrel bred figure. They'll give you $50 for your trouble, win or lose. All you gotta do is sign this agreement, and you can get $50 real easy. If you don't mind losing, nobody ever beats them.
No, I'm getting rather used to losing. Tell you what you do. You take this and give it to Squire Ezra Fisk. He lives right down the road here. Just look for the biggest farm you've ever seen, and that's it.
You mean I gotta say all that memorizing again?
A figure's out of my hands now. Him and everything pertaining to him.
The young messenger stows the agreement in a canister and mounts his horse. Staring after him, Justin draws in a deep breath. Justin pauses in the doorway and takes a look around, then heads inside. Later, on a dirt road, strolling uphill with his carpet bag, Justin pauses at the switchback turn.
Though Justin had made his decision, leaving old friends was never easy.
Peering downhill, he watches Bob ride figure around the old fairgrounds track. The muscular horse lopes down a straightway and sticks close to the rail as he rounds a bend. Bob rocks in the saddle as he guides figure through another turn. Justin watches, his eyes shaded by the brim of his tricorn hat. Setting his jaw, he starts downhill. As Justin nears the bottom of the hill with his carpet bag, figure breaks out of a turn and gallops down the home stretch. Wearing a leather belt and a brown vest over his green shirt, Justin walks to the edge of the track and sets his bag down. Bob slows figure down. They head over to Justin, who cradles the horse's head in his hands.
No stumps today, I see. Fisk accepted the race?
Accepted? You should have seen him, Justin. He nearly tripped all over himself getting that agreement signed. Danforth and Wellington. Those are those two dandies that rubbed his nose in it a while back. And you know the squire would walk through burning coals to get back at him. And now he's thinking figure's the horse to do it with.
Justin smiles as he pets figure.
What are you toting in a carpet bag?
All my earthly possessions? Can you believe that? The wealth of a lifetime.
Well, are you going somewhere?
I have to go away for a while, Bob. Have some business to attend to. How's he feel to you?
Well, why don't you give him a ride and find out?
Bob dismounts.
Farewell ride, huh? Kind of childish, kind of sentimental. Why not?
Justin climbs into the saddle, grabs a hold of the reins, and kicks his feet.
Get up!
Why not?
Bob watches figure lope around the track. Justin sits tall in the saddle.
That's what you came here to do.
Figure runs down the back stretch with Justin straight and steady on his back, gently bouncing in rhythm with the horse's smooth gait. On the road, Kathleen rides in the back seat of Squire Fisk's carriage. The squire tugs on Midnight's rein, stopping the carriage. They watch Justin riding Figure swiftly around the track. Kathleen shields her eyes from the sun, and the squire gets out his pocket watch. Kathleen shifts her gaze from Justin to the squire, who grins as he pockets his watch.
Get up!
Midnight starts to trot, pulling the carriage down a dirt road toward the track. The squire stops the carriage near Bob and Justin's carpet bag. They watch Justin ride Figure down a straightway, leaving a trail of dust. Kathleen smiles behind the squire, who observes with a keen expression on his face.
How come you don't have the horse performing like that, Mr. Evans?
Well, I can sit a horse as well as any man, squire, but it's more than that that makes a difference. It takes a Morgan to make a Morgan horse.
Figure trots over and Bob grabs the reins as Justin dismounts. Wearing a light blue dress, Kathleen sits behind the squire.
You're a long way from the schoolhouse, Mr. Morgan. I was just thinking. Your talents may extend beyond book learning. How would you like to train Figure for me? Put him in shape for next week's meeting with those two rapscallions from New York, and I'll mark the $60 you owe me right off the books. We'll be square.
Square?
Well, you don't make that much in 2 months at that schoolhouse.
Mr. Morgan won't be around for the race. He's leaving. Urgent business.
She meets Justin's gaze with a scowl on her face. He shifts his weight.
And I'd best be on my way.
He glances at Bob, who walks Figure, cooling him down.
Bye.
Well, the New Yorkers are putting up a token inducement of $50. I won't stand in the way of a man seeking his fortune. But if you'll put off your urgent business for a week, your debt will be cleared, and you can put that $50 in your pocket walking out of here. Traveling money.
That's very tempting. But I'd rather start fresh.
Morgan, winning this race is important to me.
From now on, I do what's important to me.
Got your price, Morgan. Name it.
Name my price. All right.
He steps closer, squaring up to the squire.
I don't want anything of yours, squire. All I want is what is rightfully mine. The return of my property.
Your property? That horse is mine, Morgan. Win, lose, or draw, he stays in my stables.
Justin turns his back and walks away.
All right, then go on with you. I'll make a generous offer, and you throw it in my face!
Kathleen glances at the glaring squire and gets out of the carriage. Justin carries his carpet bag down a shady dirt road.
Justin!
He stops, and Kathleen runs to him. Tears glisten on her cheeks.
There's so much to say, and, I can't find the right words to say it. So I guess I'm stuck with the usual. Good luck. And I'll be thinking about you.
I'm leaving Randolph County because I've come to a dead end here. I'm not leaving you.
Clenching back tears, she quickly kisses him and runs off. He sags as he stares after her. Turning, he sees a caravan coming down the road. A four-horse team pulls a freight wagon, following a stately carriage. Next to the driver, the young messenger doffs his hat.
Good day to you, Mr. Morgan, sir.
Wait, hold up there, whoa!
A man wearing a tweedy coat and knee-length breeches gets out of the carriage.
Our business is with Squire Fisk. You may proceed.
The carriage moves on.
The New Yorkers, there's no mistaking them. Can see why they'd rile the squire.
Yeah, they're not exactly the type you'd clutch to your bosom. I can agree with you there. Mr. Morgan, my name's Mays. Sports reporter for the New York Gazette. I've been following those two around on a racing tour, sniffing after a story worth writing. Justin Morgan and the Morgan horse is about my last hope, so don't skunk me.
Well, have you heard that Squire Fisk acquired my horse?
I'm not after examining ownership papers. I'm after a story. Tell me the horse drinks beer. Tell me he's got two heads. But tell me something. I can't write racing stories, and the outcome is always the same. New York horses win. New York horses win, 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 win.
Justin points to the wagon.
Blazes could be in that.
Well, in that, as I wrote the other day, in doom and gloom and humiliation of all opposition. Without the repertorial embroidery, your competition, Mr. Morgan.
Mays dabs his face with a handkerchief. Kathleen and the squire watch the stately carriage drawn by a pair of horses come to a stop. The messenger opens the carriage door and a gentleman steps out, sporting red breeches and a matching coat and top hat. Another well-dressed man gets out behind him. The squire, dressed in plainer clothes, climbs down from his carriage and strolls over to greet them. He exchanges a nod with the gentleman, who lean on walking sticks. They watch a man lead a brown thoroughbred out of the wagon. As Justin and Maze walks over, a frisky black horse rushes out of the wagon and tugs against its lead.
That's sweepstakes! Vandermeer Farms, Kentucky!
Sold the rest of our stable to buy him.
The squire gapes as sweepstakes wheels around its struggling handler.
Beginning of a new stables. Quite a good beginning, don't you think?
We did keep Royal Fortune. You must recall him, I'm sure, squire. He beat your princess at our last meeting.
But you never said sweepstakes was never mentioned.
You can always forfeit.
They shift their smug gazes to sweepstakes. As the handler struggles to control him, Maze looks on with Justin.
If any horse ever beat those two, I'd have my story, all right. Did I say story? I'd have a splash I could send out all over the country. Yeah, I'd be quite a celebrity. Any horse comes in ahead of sweepstakes.
Justin clenches his jaw and carries his luggage past sweepstakes, who tentatively follows his handler. Watching the horse jerk against his lead, Justin moves toward the squire and the New Yorkers.
Squire?
They step aside.
I think we can make an arrangement.
The squire walks away with Justin, passing Kathleen and Bob, who holds Figure's lead. Justin glances over his shoulder at the horses.
Morgan, before I knew what I was getting into, I bet $1,000 on this contest. I wanted to get back at those two uppity rapscallions. Yeah, what I'm saying is I won't mince words. How much?
I'm not interested in your money.
What then? What?
Justin glances at Kathleen and Bob with Figure.
What can Justin want from him?
I hope it's plenty. Justin Morgan needs another disappointment, like a hog needs a smokehouse.
Justin strolls over to Figure and pats the horse's strong shoulder. The gentleman from New York approach. The dapper man wearing the red jacket over a white ruffled shirt trains his narrow eyes on Figure.
Figure?
Justin nods. The dapper man eyes the squire.
You will extend us the same hospitality and stable privileges as the last time, won't you, Squire Fisk? So good dealing with a sportsman like yourself.
My pleasure, gentlemen, of course.
The New Yorkers walk past Maze as they leave. The journalist in the tweedy jacket studies Figure. Justin and Bob pet the calm horse.
It's a well-made little horse, Morgan.
Maze arches his brow.
But I got a hunch for all the story I'm going to get from this contest. My editor's going to reassign me to writing obituary columns.
Justin smiles at Figure.
David and Goliath, that's what it is. David and Goliath.
I seem to recall a happy ending to that story.
Oh, I trust my Bible when it says it happened once. Twice?
He shakes his head and gets in the stately carriage. Justin stares after him with a big grin on his face. The two-horse team pulls the carriage onto the track, and the four-horse team follows, hauling the horse wagon past Justin and Bob, who keep a firm grip on Figure. As handlers follow the wagon with Royal Fortune and sweepstakes on short leads, Justin pets Figure. Draped in blue blankets, the New York horses fidget as they walk. Royal Fortune sidesteps, tugging on his lead. Sweepstakes kicks up dust as he takes a few hopping steps. Watching them, Justin smiles, then trains his gaze on Figure. On a sunny day at the track, Bob rides Figure down the home stretch. Watching them with an intense look on his face, Justin plants his hands on his hips. Kathleen smiles as she looks on.
It takes a bit of doing, getting a horse ready for such an important race. But when it came to getting the utmost out of Figure, Justin Morgan was the right man to be in charge. The bond built between them over the years guaranteed that. They were the makings of a winning combination.
Justin thoughtfully leans his chin on his hand.
Figure's sure itching to go.
Yes. We'll be running him easy today, pacing him to the distance.
Well, I thought you said the flat-out race was his meet.
It is, but every little bit counts. Those New Yorkers have racing down to a science, been at it for years.
The stately carriage rolls into view. Galloping out of the woods with a jockey on his back, Royal Fortune races onto the track. Maze leans against a tree as he watches the thoroughbred catch up to Figure. The jockey rides alongside Bob at a trot, and the New York gentlemen get out of their carriage, their eyes fixed on the track. Justin watches Bob talk to the jockey as they ride side by side.
They're gonna race!
Justin hops a picket fence and steps onto the track as the horses round a bend.
Hold them down, Bob!
Royal Fortune gallops ahead of Figure.
Bob, pull him up!
The squire looks on.
Bob, pull up!
The jockey taps his crop against Royal Fortune as he grows his lead. The New Yorkers watch their horse beat Figure to the finish, where Justin waits. Bob sits astride Figure as Justin cradles the horse's head.
All right, Figure. Attaboy.
The squire walks over and glances at the New Yorkers. The dapper man tips his hat, and the other gestures with his walking stick.
I'm calling off the race.
What?
It's a fiasco. I'll pay if I must, but I won't have those monkeys jeering and jabbering at me from here to New York. I'll tell them Figure came up lame or something, but it's over.
They're not going to count us out yet. There's too much at stake here.
That wasn't even their best horse. Morgan, if that little
Squire, we have got an entire week. I intend to use all of that time training Figure. I'm not going to waste any time debating whether or not I'm going to lie down and die without a fight.
Somewhere in your little bag of tricks, you better come up with a set of wings for that horse.
The squire walks off.
Wings or no, Justin, Figure never could have caught that thoroughbred.
Bob shakes his head. Knitting his brow, Justin glances at Figure, then watches the New York horses lope around the track. Justin pats Figure and strokes the horse along his broad cheek. Later, Bob exercises Figure on a dirt road. As Justin studies them, he thoughtfully strokes his chin. Bob slows the horse down. Figure tosses his head and steps over to Justin. Bob dismounts.
Bob, Figure didn't lose that race yesterday. You did. Or rather, I did. Where does he get his speed from?
Well, from his hindquarters, of course. All those years of hauling and hill climbing, I don't know a horse with more thrust.
And where were you sitting when you rode him?
Justin moves the saddle.
Figure's got a short back. And that means I was sitting right on top of all that power, just like an anchor, dragging him down. You're right, Justin.
You know, we haven't made a formal thing of racing, haven't studied it like those New Yorkers have. But this is one old dog that doesn't mind learning some new tricks.
Justin sits in the repositioned saddle, leaning forward over Figure's dark mane. Bob nods as he studies him, then mimics the pose, squatting on the ground and leaning forward. He bounces up and down like he's in the saddle. Later, Bob tries it on Figure.
Time flew by, the way time does when you need every moment. By the day before the race, Morgan knew that Figure was ready, but he was still looking for every advantage he could give his namesake.
Bob rides Figure around the track, leaning forward in the saddle. Justin pensively strokes his chin. His face tenses as he watches Figure favoring one foot. Bob walks alongside him, and Justin rushes over. Figure kicks his right front leg. Justin crouches down and takes a look at the horse's leg.
Oh, Lord, don't tell me. That's all we need is Figure to come up lame.
There's no swelling. Oh, a shoe is loose.
Justin yanks off the horseshoe.
Say, you know, I never noticed how heavy these things are.
2.5 pounds of metal in each shoe.
Times 4 hooves, that's 10 pounds. That's an awful lot of weight for a horse to be dragging around during a race.
Yeah, but you can't make them any lighter. As it is, they wear right down. A set of shoes don't last no time at all.
All they have to last is one day, one race. Just a shell for protection.
Justin thoughtfully furrows his brow as he holds the shoe and walks with Bob.
You mind if I get nosy?
I'll tell you that after I hear the question.
Just it's been kind of a puzzle to me what kind of deal you and the squire worked out about getting you to stay. You've both been pretty confidential about it.
That's a secret. And if we don't win tomorrow, it's going to remain a secret.
I thought the squire was bargaining for your time, not for the promise of winning.
No, it's strictly on a win basis. If Figure wins, the squire wins, and I win.
At night in the squire's barn, Figure stands over a fire pit as Justin hammers metal on an anvil. Kathleen enters, carrying a pitcher and mug on a tray.
Ooh, you're an angel of mercy.
Justin takes a long sip from the mug. Kathleen smiles softly as she watches him. He returns the mug.
There's more in the pitcher.
No, I better not stop now. I'm getting sleepy enough as it is.
I'm so glad you stayed on here, Justin.
He works bellows.
Well, I couldn't go and leave behind so much that's important to me.
It's what I hoped, but you couldn't go.
Not after talking to that newspaper man. There's too much riding on tomorrow's race.
Newspaper man?
And Mr. Mays. You know what he told me? If Figure wins tomorrow, he'll be spread across the front pages of every paper in the country.
That horse? Getting in the paper, that's what you stayed for?
Well, think what that would mean, Kathleen. Every horseman worth his salt will want to have his mares made into Figure. We'll have a new breed of horses, horses like Figure. We'll have the first American breed.
Justin Morgan, you've got about as much romance in your soul as...
Well, now the pieces fit. All the way back here was a puzzle to me why you've been driving yourself to train that horse.
Kathleen sternly eyes Justin, who looks at Mays.
A man with a dream.
Justin nods.
What else? Dreams don't come true, Morgan. You talk about breeding. Those thoroughbreds have got generations of it. Generations. What's going to beat them, Your good wishes?
The journalist glances at Kathleen, who drops her sullen gaze. Softening, Mays knits his brow and waves a hand.
Go on making his shoes. What can it hurt?
Mays walks out, and Kathleen follows him to the door. Kathleen stares out at the night sky as lightning flashes.
Storm blowing in tonight. Justin, what do you think?
I think that there's no time for crowing or crying. Not until after tomorrow morning.
In the morning, water drips from leaves and sunshine warms the infield of the old fairgrounds racetrack. Kathleen and Justin walk alongside Figure as Bob leads him onto the track. Carriages and men on horseback gather on the infield, and spectators line up along the picket fence. On the track, a stout man with a dog ambles over to Justin.
Hello, Justin.
Bert?
Looks like we've got a full house today, huh?
Yeah, all here to cheer you on, Justin.
Me and old hound here is going to be camped right on the starting line. Our prayers with you.
Thank you.
Bert walks off with his dog and takes a seat on the bench. Two smaller dogs run onto the track. Following the squire in his carriage, Ames rides Princess Grey Dawn.
Squire?
Storm last night sure wet down the track. Talkiest sweepstakes is an exceptional mutter.
Well, I figure just about sure-footed as anything that's got hooves. Seen just about every kind of weather that Vermont can throw at a horse.
The squire watches the New Yorkers approach. Draped in a blue horse blanket, Sweepstakes kicks up his hind legs. A handler keeps a tight grip on Royal Fortune as he walks in front of the stately carriage and the wagon. Looking away from the caravan, Justin exchanges a glance with Kathleen while the squire and Ames share a look. The gentlemen peer out the carriage window as they pass by, and the squire levels a steely gaze on Justin.
Well, after a week's training, is there anything you can tell me? Put a smile on my face? Or will it be a repeat of the last performance, that Royal Fortune running away from you?
Squire, every horse has its own individual strengths. In a long race from a running start, that thoroughbred had the edge. In a short race like this, Figure just might have the edge. He's the fastest horse off the mark I've ever seen in my life. Now, that just could be the race right there. Figure getting the jump at the start. But there's no saying. So your money's still up in the air.
Hang it all, it's not the money I'm worrying after. Can we win is what I'm thinking. Can we win?
Justin slowly backs away, shaking his head. Bob strokes Figure under the chin as he gazes at the squire, who clenches his jaw and snaps his reins.
Get up.
Midnight pulls the carriage away, and Ames follows on the mottled gray horse. The squire drives his carriage onto the field, and Kathleen stares after him.
I've never heard the squire use the term we before, as if there were anything else in this universe besides himself.
And not filled up with his own money. You suppose maybe the squire's been hiding a heart all these years?
In the gazebo, the squire and Ames stand with a gentleman from New York.
Mr. Mays, will you do the honors and officiate as judge? If that is agreeable to all.
Agreed.
Justin and Kathleen watch Mays take a pistol out of a box, then position himself on the starting line.
To your marks, gentlemen.
Mounted on figure, Bob waits at the starting line. The jockey on Royal Fortune struggles to keep him in position. Mays eyes the antsy horse.
Come on, get that thoroughbred up here.
Royal Fortune wheels around. In the gazebo, Ames wraps an arm around the squire.
It's a good thing they picked that Royal Fortune to race against Figure and not their sweepstake horse.
At the starting line, the thoroughbred steps back. Bert's dog sits at the edge of the track.
Get set!
Mays aims his pistol in the air. The dog darts onto the track, and Figure stops.
Once a starting gun has been fired, a race must be concluded. Official Eastern Track rules as per our agreement.
Mr. Mays!
I'm afraid that's the case, Mr. Morgan. The race is on.
Figure lags behind Royal Fortune on the first turn. Bob leans forward in the saddle, giving chase.
There goes your fast start.
Justin shoots a glance at the squire, then turns his attention to the track. Figure catches up around a turn. Justin gapes as Figure closes the distance. Kathleen flashes a giddy smile.
He's catching up!
As Bob leans forward in the saddle, Figure gains on Royal Fortune. The New Yorkers press their lips in a line as they look on. Justin clutches a rail.
Good job, Figure!
The squire grins excitedly.
He's gonna catch him! Look! Look!
Figure pulls alongside the thoroughbred. Barreling down the straightaway, Figure races into the lead. Justin tensely grips the rail as he watches.
Cut in now, Figure!
Figure hugs the rail around a turn. He swings wide to avoid a mud puddle.
Stretch out, Figure!
Figure holds the lead on the home stretch.
Go on, Figure!
Figure crosses the finish line, a length ahead.
The Morgan horse is the winner!
Justin runs onto the track, holding Kathleen's hand. Bob rides over on Figure.
Figure! Superb race, Bob!
Good going, Bob. Incredible, Evans, incredible.
Fisk!
Yes?
Somewhat early for such jubilation. I should think you'd want to spend your time between races more fruitfully.
Between races?
If the good squire will read his agreement, he'll note that we specified the two races to be run at the time of our choosing. We choose now.
You don't ask a horse to run twice.
Trickery. We demand time.
Demand away, squire. All you'll get is the exact letter of our agreement. You're a businessman, don't you read what you sign?
Justin reads.
That's what it says, all right.
Agreement or no, I never heard of such a thing.
What you heard is of no importance.
Mordecaier, we certainly don't want our friend of the press reporting us as unsportsmanlike in our dealings.
Mordecai's dapper associate brings a finger to his lips as the squire gapes.
We will amend our agreement. Champion sweepstakes against any horse of the Fisk farm. The Prince's Grey Dawn, for instance. I think that's generous of us, don't you, Mays?
Figure is the only horse with a prayer against the likes of sweepstakes.
I'd gladly accommodate you further, but we do have business in Maine and must be away before night. Mordecai?
The gentlemen turn away. Justin hangs his head, then grabs hold of Figure's reins and leads the horse off the track. Bob sits tall in the saddle. Bob leads Figure into some shade and turns him around. Bob dismounts and leans on the horse. Wearing his tricorn hat, Bob fixes his earnest gaze on his friend.
Justin, this horse has given his all.
He'll give more. He has to.
Not to me, he won't.
What are you talking about?
This horse has just run a race that no horse should ever have to run. It sapped his strength.
Now, for you, he just might go on heart.
But, Bob, you're the man he's used to.
Yeah, and you're the man with more on this race than you'd care to talk about. I'd only lose it for you.
Morgan, there's truth to what he says. Something special happens when you ride that horse.
Let me have your knife, Bob.
Bob hands him a knife, and Justin uses it on the saddle.
What are you doing with the saddle? I'm going to cut away anything we don't really need.
Kathleen walks with the squire.
If he loses, Justin's never wanted anything so badly in his whole life.
Well, there's a good deal at stake here. You'd be interested to know just how much. I promise not to reveal it. I'll tell you one thing, however. That Justin Morgan is more man than I ever gave him credit for. My heart goes out to him. Yes, sir, he's quite a man.
Tell me anything I should know about that track out there.
Bob scans the grounds.
Well, you gotta watch that turn down there, because it's deadly. You must swing wide, you see, because it's a swamp.
May stands on the starting line.
Your marks, gentlemen.
Justin rides figure at a walk, while Bob holds onto the horse's bridle. Kathleen anxiously holds a hand over her stomach as sweepstakes balks on the starting line. Ames and the squire watch with the New Yorkers.
Come on, get that black horse up. Come on, come on.
Mace gestures toward the starting line, and the handler wrangles sweepstakes. Justin waits on figure. Bob pats Justin on the leg and steps away. Figure bobs his head. Justin grins nervously. Kathleen crosses her fingers, and Bert holds up his dog leash.
Get set!
Mays aims his pistol in the air, and Justin leans forward. Figure charges ahead, taking the lead. Justin steers him toward the rail as they round the first turn. Bob runs over to Kathleen.
Figure run his own race now, by golly.
Justin glances back at Sweepstakes, who trails by more than a length. Justin leans forward in a saddle and keeps his head low as Figure hugs the rail. Bob and Kathleen watch them on the straightaway. Figure runs with his tail high, and Sweepstakes gains on him. The black horse pulls alongside Figure, a half length behind. Bob stands for a better look. Justin glances back at the horse on his right. Sweepstakes charges ahead, his jockey pumps his crop, and the black horse widens his lead. In slow motion, they near the turn. Sweepstakes corners first, hugging the rail, Figure gains on it. Bob stares anxiously.
Don't you dive into that turn, it's a swamp.
Justin sees puddles. Figure charges through the puddles, holding the inside position on the turn. On the home stretch, Figure takes the lead. The squire pumps a fist.
Stretch out, Figure! Stretch out there!
Sweepstakes charges up.
Take us home, boy! Ha!
Figure beats Sweepstakes to the finish.
Figure! The Morgan horse by a head.
Ames slaps the squire on the shoulder, and spectators toss their hats in the air. Justin rides Figure onto the infield, and the squire throws his hat. Bob runs over to Justin, and a crowd surrounds them. The squire stands in the gazebo as Kathleen rushes off.
Missy!
She stops, and he hands her a document.
This is for you.
With a solemn expression, she undoes a ribbon, unrolls the document, and reads. Her eyes widen in surprise.
It's your indenture. Consider it paid in full. It's the price that man of yours asked of me for winning. Justin Morgan never was much of a businessman. Well, good luck to you, children. God bless you both.
She kisses him on the cheek and runs off. A young man hands the squire his hat. Kathleen tries to break through the crowd.
Justin!
He sees Kathleen. In the gazebo, the squire looks around searchingly, then heads off. He finds the New York gentleman on the track with the jockey.
Well, gentlemen.
The squire glances at the black horse, then holds his chin in his hand. Mordecai scowls, and his dapper associate hands the squire a paper slip.
Your note for $1,000. I'd frame it, but then you two peacocks wouldn't have to pay, would you? What do you think of my mongrel horse now, huh?
With their lips drawn in a line, the gentlemen glance at the crowd around Figure and Justin.
Your horse, Squire?
The squire narrows his eyes, and the New Yorkers smugly turn away. The squire looks at his note. The crowd applauds Justin. Mays observes from a distance, and the squire joins him.
Well, I got a story to tell, all right. The story of the Morgan horse.
The squire thoughtfully shifts his jaw. Justin hops off a Figure, and Mays straightens.
I'll be telling it good.
The journalist strides off. With an arm around Kathleen, Justin leads Figure by the reins. The squire heads into the infield, thoughtfully rubbing his face as he meets Justin with Kathleen and Bob. The squire shifts on his feet, Figure gently dips his head, and Justin holds out the reins.
Your horse, squire.
No, the horse is yours, Morgan. Always was, I guess. If I didn't know it before, I learned that ownership means more than dollars and cents. Besides, it gets me off the hook for a wedding present.
Squire Fisk, I know you for a shrewd Yankee trader that would rather turn purple than give away something for nothing. There's got to be a condition.
Condition indeed. I was just coming to that. Morgan, that horse of yours is one of a kind, but it won't be for long. I want the first colt.
Justin kisses Kathleen.
Done!
There's a piece of land adjoining mine that I've had my eye on. Might be that you and me could get together on breeding the finest horse flesh anyone's ever heard of.
Morgan horses, by golly.
I bet they'll make wonderful children's horses.
Justin plants a kiss on her cheek. In the squire's paddock, Figure and Princess Greydawn trot with a foal.
And so Justin Morgan's dream came to pass. Figure did breed true, as Morgan knew he would.
The squire, Justin, and Bob grin as Kathleen kisses the foal. A Morgan herd runs through a field.
Before you knew it, there were Morgans every place. And every one with a stamp of the original, the all-American horse.
The sculpture of the muscular horse fades to black. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios, voiced by KG Tang.